each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. Let's pray. Lord, when you save us, you give us a gift to administer your grace, Lord. And I pray this morning as we take time to look at your word, Father, that it would be clear to us, Lord, that you didn't save us to sit, you saved us to serve. You have placed within us a capacity to administer grace. And so may that simply be our heart's desire, Lord, that Jesus might be seen through us, Lord, in the way that you have formed us and the way you have gifted us. Father, it's all for your glory. And that's what we long for, that you might be seen, the Holy One might be known. And so, Father, I pray that you would move through what remains of the service, that your word would be shared clearly. And, Father, that your Spirit would speak to us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. In one of Stuart Briscoe's books, he opens up with a story of a reporter talking to an astronaut. The group of astronauts were preparing to head to the moon. And so the reporter was trying to find out information. He said, okay, so tell me about how you get to the moon and how dangerous it is. And he said, well, several rockets fire this module. And he says, what happens if you get to the moon and you can't fire the rockets and you're stuck on the moon? How long can you survive? He said, well, our life support systems last for 6 hours. And so the question by the reporter was, so what will you do in your final 6 hours? And he said, oh, that's a very easy answer. I work on those rocket engines. And so the truth of the matter is, what will we as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ do in the last 6 hours that he gives us before his return? Well, we should take care of the engine, right? And the engine is how God has formed us and how he intends to use us for his kingdom. And all of us have been made unique for his purpose. Last week, as we looked at verses 7 through 9, just to review, I'll share these verses. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. Above all, love each other deeply because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality without grumbling. And so from this verses, we shared these awesome truths. Don't panic. Boy, that's a tough thing today, isn't it? But there's panic all around us for a variety of reasons. Remain calm. Why should we remain calm? Because our God is the most powerful of all, guys. We can trust Him regardless of why we may be in panic mode. God doesn't want us to live there in panic mode. Stay focused. And then we said, keep praying. Continue demonstrating love, deep love, fervent love for one another, and be available. As we love one another, be ready to be hospitable to those who are around you. And today, the text that we're looking at tells us that we are not sent to sit and sour, but we are saved to serve. And we're going to look at these 3 points in the outline. Hey, no one is left out. Everybody matters in the body of Christ. Everybody has a job to do. Everybody has a place in the body to serve. God needs everybody. He wants everybody to be available for His purpose. Secondly, we didn't decide what to be good at. That wasn't up to us. That was God who has made us and prepared us specifically for the service He's designed for us. And then third, the gift that we have, it's not meant to keep to ourselves, but it is meant to share and to give away. Notice our text, he starts out, he says, each one has received a gift. Everybody here and everybody who is listening and everybody not just at Kingsway Baptist Church, but everybody in the body of Christ has been gifted for service, to serve others, so that Jesus Christ can be seen. And guys, there's not just one way that Jesus Christ is presented to this world. That's why He's made each of us unique. Or as it says in the King James, in 1 Peter 2, peculiar. But set aside specifically for Him. Hey, if there was a family portrait of the body of Christ, it had to be a big canvas, because it had to fit all of us believers together who are part of the family. And guys, like I said, everyone matters. You know, I was thinking about the example or the illustration of the body. Every part of the body matters. If you want to walk somewhere, you say, well, you know, the big toe is not very big. But it matters, guys. And what if the big toes were to decide, we're going to protest? We are not going to be available for the body. So what happens when you try to walk? Do you know what the purpose of the big toe is? Balance. It is not safe to go walking somewhere if you don't have any balance. And if you've ever fallen, you know what I'm talking about. So even the big toe, although it's a small part of the body in regards to the size of the big toes, it is a very, very important part of the body. And so are the parts of the body that are not visible to the eye. Man, you may not see your liver or your heart or your kidneys, but if they stop working, you'll know. They are very important. And everybody matters in the body of Christ. No one's left out. And the truth is, the strength of the body of Christ, the effectiveness of the body of Christ, is dependent upon the body of the Christ working. God needs us all. Second, we didn't decide what we would be good at. He tells us here, each one received a gift. In the past tense, in other words, God has already given it to you. It is not something that you're waiting to receive. It's already yours when you were in Christ. And the picture here, it goes all the way back to the possibility of even in the womb. Hey, God's at work in us from the womb to the tomb, right? I mean, and even if you go back to the tomb, but also not just being formed in the body to become who God has made you to be, but also as the gifts and the talents, the abilities that you have are developed, and all of that is used for God's holy purpose. It's interesting, in the Old Testament, there are several accounts of talking about building the temple, and there were people whose talents are mentioned, come from the Holy Spirit. For example, in 1 Kings chapter 7, verse 14, we're told about a man named Hiram, and he was a bronze worker, and it says that God had specifically gifted him for the purpose of doing bronze work, for the beauty of the temple that was dedicated to the glory of God. In Exodus 35:35, two other guys are mentioned, and I may have to say hard word on at least one of these. Bezalel and Oholiab, they had special skills in engraving, designing, and embroidering. Hey, don't just think that the person who preaches or the person who teaches Sunday school are the only ones who have opportunity to bring glory to God. No, every talent, every ability, every strength that you have can be a channel of the very grace of God. It is not by accident that you have those strengths. God has placed them in you for a very specific purpose. I love Rick Warren's anagram that he uses, SHAPE. S stands for spiritual gifts, and God gives a believer at the moment that he comes to Christ a spiritual gift or more than one spiritual gift. The H stands for heart. What is it that you have a passion for? Now, what is it that, as we say, turns your crank or floats your boat or gets you excited? Well, that heart, that passion, is part of how God has specifically designed you and crafted you. A is for abilities. Yes, you have giftedness, but you also have some abilities, things that you can do. And guys, it doesn't even matter what it is. There is nothing that is insignificant. You know, I think about, I'm going to talk tonight about the fact of the feeding the 5,000 and how crazy it must have been to the disciples that two fish and five loaves of bread were going to be used to feed at least 5,000. It's very possible there were more. And, you know, I often wonder, what did the disciples think when you know, Jesus sent them out? Are you kidding me? Lord, do you see what's in there? You know, hey, God said, you just start walking with a little bit that you have, and it'll be enough. I will use it. And guys, you may think, I don't really have that much to offer, but you do. You matter. And God is able to use you. There was a guy when I was younger in our youth, went to the church that I became a Christian in. He had a stuttering problem. Man, this guy, he didn't say much because it a lot of time to say it, you know? So when he said it, you would listen. Man, so many times what he would say would be so profound. Why? Because it was hard. It was hard for him to say it. But he knew it had to be said, and so he would. How small your gift may seem, nothing is insignificant when it is in the hands of the Master to be used. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, Paul asked this question to the church at Corinth. What do you have that you did not receive? Kind of a rhetorical question. I mean, let's just be honest about it. The Scripture tells us every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. So it's really a rhetorical question. What do you have that was not given to you? Nothing. What we have, our very abilities that we have to do our jobs, the abilities that we use in our families, with our friends, and the talents, it's all a gift from God. If God did not give it to us, we wouldn't be able to do it. It is His gift and the importance of that. Hey, your background, your experience, it is not an accident. God has brought you to this point with your giftedness, with your heart, with your spiritual gifts, abilities, and even your personality, as wacky as you may be. There's a reason for that. God wants to use you. That is His heart. That is His purpose. You look at the Apostle Paul. It was not an accident that he was a Roman citizen. It was not an accident that he grew up under some of the greatest rabbinical teachers, Pharisees. It was not an accident that he was a gifted debater. No, all of that stuff was part of God preparing Paul, using his giftedness, also as a writer, these letters to the churches from God. All of that, God was at work. And understand that what you think may be lost time, or what you think may be time that doesn't matter, God may be working through it all, preparing you for a time in the future to be used. You know, it's interesting, in Psalm 139, you go back to a description of how God knows us so intricately. In verse 13, the psalmist says, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb." So there's this picture of this small form inside of the womb. And it is growing and developing. And the psalmist says, knit together in there. Embroidered, it said in one translation, deeply woven together. And the psalmist says, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. And isn't it interesting, you know, as you think about, everybody has a specific fingerprint that we use to recognize us. Of course, now, you know, like with our phones, scanning our eyes, DNA. Boy, some of that stuff is just way over my head, the complexity of DNA. And it's amazing to me as they talk about being able to outline the whole genome of the human body and of each. It's amazing stuff. But the point is, God, our Creator, He has made us each. Just like the snowflake, each snowflake is unique. So are you. So am eye. And, you know, everything about, I even read that, you know, that the nose and the ears keep growing. And that explains a lot for some of us. Maybe they grew a little more than we would like. Or, and also that, you know, hair doesn't always cooperate. We know that issue too. And that's God's, I mean, that's God's design. But I'm just kidding, okay? So, but anyway, the point of the matter is, God has made you, for Him, for His work. You know, it's amazing too now, with the sonograms and the complexity of technology, it's really amazing to me that anybody can argue that it's just a lump of cells in the womb. You know, it's like a lifeless tumor that's just kind of hanging out in there, you know, fatty tumor or something. No way. You just leave that little clump of cells alone, and you know what'll happen? You're going to have yourself a baby. It's going to, that child will continue to form and specifically continue to grow into a person. Matter of fact, I love it. There's a ministry that goes around the country to abortion centers, and they have a van with a sonogram machine, and they have several of these outfitted vans across the country. And women will come, and they'll get in these vans, and they'll share with them sonograms of the baby in their wombs. 9 out of 10 of those women choose not to go on with the abortion. Why? Because they just hadn't realized what's in the womb. There's a baby there. They've been told that that's not really a baby. But the Scripture here makes it clear that God is specifically at work in the womb. So even at the womb, as you know, we come out as He's created us, and then as we learn that, and as we grow, and as we develop, and we have these abilities and personality experiences, all of that, God works specifically in each one. And if you're a Christian by faith in Christ, you do have a gift. More than likely, more than one gift. And you do have abilities that are used for God. You know, it's interesting. That word gift is the word charisma. You know, we talk about somebody's got charisma. You know, just that great leadership ability, you know. The word charis, charisma comes from, is the Greek word that means grace. And so what the picture here is grace gifts. We all have grace gifts, which are channels for the grace of Jesus Christ to flow to others so they might see the gospel alive through those grace gifts that are at work, that are being used. So in that sense, the truth of the matter is, since all of us have charisma, grace gifts, let me just tell you something you don't hear in the Baptist church. You got a charismatic preacher here talking to a bunch of charismatics. That gets out in the community. I don't know. We might have a few trying to see, you know, what's going on in this Baptist church. But the truth of the matter is, in the truest sense of the word, we are charismatics because we have grace gifts. And God wants us to be excited about them. You know, and everybody in the body of Christ does matter. Regardless of the type of worship that we choose and music and all of that stuff, what matters is we belong together to Jesus, and our job is to show people why. Because once I was lost, but now I'm found. Once I was blind, but now I see. Thank God for His mercy shown to us. And man, just imagine if the grace gifts were pouring out and being used in abundance in the church. Those with the gift of evangelism. Man, I had a friend of mine when I was in seminary, Sid Hill. And Sid obviously, you know, had that gift. We're all called to share Jesus, to evangelize. But there still is a difference where some people have a gift, and so it's just so natural for them to do when they have that gift. And Sid had that gift, and I just liked hanging out with Sid because I knew in 5 minutes we'd be talking to somebody about Jesus, and I could just enjoy that. He had that. But how awesome that would be for that. Or those who have the mercy gift, that charisma. Man, there are people who are hurting. And you know what? They're just waiting for somebody who will stop and listen, because everybody's talking and few people are listening. But those who have the mercy gift, man, they listen. And not just with their ears, they listen with their hearts. And people know that. And it's a grace channel. There are others who have the gift of service. And a lot of times, these are the people, they want to hide from the spotlight. They really are not looking for attention. But man, they're a channel of grace, because when there's a need, they quietly step up and do the job. Every church has those people. And oftentimes, something happens to a person who's doing these things, and we go, why didn't that get done? Well, we didn't know who was doing it. They had that service gift, and they were using it. It's a beautiful thing. Or the gift of giving. Man, when that charismatic charisma is being used, you don't have to worry about funding mission trips, missionaries, and the work of the kingdom of God. Man, that's a beautiful thing. When that gift is being utilized, and I mean, obviously I could go through all of those gifts, but when God's gifts that He gives to His people are at work, and all of us is being used by Him, man, the church is alive. And He calls us to that, right? All right, one more here. Our gift is to be given away. The Scripture tells us, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. A lot of the translations, it'll say, as stewards of God's grace. A steward was a person who didn't own, but managed the possessions or the property of another. And so what we're being told here is that although God gives us gifts, they're really His. Man, the earth is the Lord and all that is in it, we are told in Psalm 25:1. Or 24:1. So the truth of the matter is, we're stewards, guys. We are given this for a time and for a season. It's not really ours. We're called to make good use of what has been given to us for a season or for a time for His service, because it all really belongs to Him. It's all really His gifts. And we are designed and endowed to put those gifts into practice. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14, Paul talks to his apprentice Timothy, and he says, do not neglect the spiritual gift within you. Now, we don't know the circumstances of what happened, but evidently, Timothy wasn't using his gifts for the kingdom of God. I don't know. Maybe he was depressed because Paul was in jail and he couldn't do anything to get him out. Maybe he was disillusioned because he just said, man, I'm just a pitiful preacher, you know. Or maybe he was just upset because he thought, you know, I just don't see any spiritual fruit. I'm discouraged. I want to see You work, God, and I'm not seeing it. We don't really know the specific purpose of why he wasn't using his gift. We just know that Paul was saying to him, you need to use your gift for the kingdom of God. Do not neglect. Do not neglect that spiritual gift that is within you, Timothy. He tells us in 2 Timothy 1:6, fan into flame the gift of God. So what does he say? He doesn't say, Timothy, I want you to create a spiritual movement. Timothy, I want you to go out there. I want you to build a massive church. I want you to save a bunch of people. No, he doesn't say, I want you to create a flame. He said, to fan the flame of the gift of God that's already there. He said, man, you got those coals inside. There's already some heat there. It just needs to be fanned. It just needs to the heat needs to come. And that happens when you stir the gift that is already there. Let God work in you, Timothy. Be ready, serve. And he says that to all of us. He says that to Todd and to everyone here, to all of us, to fan to flame that gift that God has placed within us, whatever that giftedness is, to be channels of grace for the glory of God. Now, I want to close here with just a couple of questions to ask ourselves as we think about the importance of being channels of grace through the gifts we have received. Here's a question: where can I do the most good? I can't answer any of these for you guys. I want you to pray, talk to God about it. God, where do you want to use me? Where can I do the most good? Secondly, where do I already have experience or talent? Are you holding out on God? Are there areas of your life that are reserved for you, but they're not His? There is nothing that doesn't really belong to God. Here's another one. What area of serving immediately interests me? What excites you? Is there something you could do for God that you kind of get excited thinking about? I could see myself doing that. Right? So, what burden am I willing to accept in self-denying service? Where are you willing to plug in for Him? What changes am I willing to make to my schedule in order to serve? You know, years ago when I did the Experience in God study, you know, what a great study that was by the Blackabees, Henry Blackaby. But what I remember about the whole 13-week process was he made a statement on one week where he said, God has the right to change my schedule anytime He wants. Ow. You know, sometimes we want to put our schedules in stone. This is what I'm doing today. Well, you check with God, it might change, because He has the right to change it. Two last questions. One last question. How can I bless the church and serve the body in a way that glorifies God? We are called, whatever we do, whether in word or deed, to do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the Father through Him. Work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. So, what is that? What does that look like for you? Ask God to show you. Serve Him in that capacity. I want to close with this saying by Jim Elliot. Jim Elliot was one of five missionaries who went in a mission effort to reach the Aka Indians. He was tragically murdered when they tried to see the Indians face to face. They had been up in the trees putting food down to the ground and slowly trying to build trust. They thought they had built trust, but their lives were taken. It's a beautiful story because the five widows of the five guys came back and the tribe was reached for Jesus through their wives. Great story. But anyway, here's a quote I want to close with from Jim Elliot. Consume my life, my God, for it is Thine. I seek not a long life, but a full one, like You, Lord Jesus. God, I pray that You would light these idle sticks of my life, and may I burn for Thee. Let's pray. Father, what a challenge, Lord. And we know what happened to Jim, Lord. A short life, but His impact is still being felt, Lord. And You answered the prayer. And so, Father, do that for us, Lord. How do You want to use us, God, to bring You glory? Fan the flame of the gift of God in each one of us so that we might be true charismatics and see the grace, the charisma, the charis of God at work. And so, Father, that's what we ask for. And Father, you can't have the spiritual gift if you don't have Jesus. And so, you know, we always give the invitation for one who may never have trusted Jesus Christ for salvation. He's never said, okay, Lord, I know I need forgiveness. You made it possible at Calvary. So please enter my life. Forgive me. Make me a new person. So, Father, we give that invitation. And Lord, may we just respond to your Spirit in this time that we've set aside for you, that you might get glory. And so, Lord, have your way in this time. In Christ's name, amen.
Please stand with us for our time of response.